Well, life is busy, isn't it? Life is busy. You don't need to come to church to be told that life is busy. You all know that life is busy. It can be a blur. You know, you rush here, you rush there, you pick that thing up, you do that job, you eat, you sleep, you work, you repeat. And before you know it, a week's gone by, a month's gone by, and then Christmas is just round the corner. It is just round the corner, by the way. It just comes up so quickly, doesn't it? And it sometimes puzzles me why life is so busy. We've got all kinds of things to help us now, haven't we? We've got cars to get us to places quicker than ever before. We've got washing machines to wash our clothes. We don't have to slaughter the lamb before we eat. We don't have to pluck the bird to have dinner. You go into Tesco's or Sainsbury's, it's all there in a nice, you know, packaged thing. And it's all prepared for us. You might even have a dishwasher. All you've got to do is load it now. And then unload it, of course. But we don't have to fetch our water. We've got power tools to help us do DIY. All these things to help us. It amazes me. How did they cope, you know, a few hundred years with life when we've got all this technology and we can't even cope today, can we? Life is just so busy. We start our days with 101 things to do and we think, I'm never going to get it all done. And we have to prioritize, don't we? You think, what is my priority here? What has absolutely got to be done today? Now, if I was to ask you what your priority is or should be as a Christian, I wonder what you would say. Just think for a second, what is your priority in life? What is it that you put above everything else? We'll press save on that thought and we'll circle back to it a bit later. And we've been looking as we've gone through Luke's gospel and in particular Luke chapter 10, how Luke chapter 10 is full of busyness, isn't it? It's full of stuff and action and stuff going on. So the 72 at the beginning of this chapter, they were sent out on mission. And there's all that action that happened. They're going out. There's all that stuff that happens. There's the lost to be saved. Go out, proclaim the name of Jesus. And then we saw last week how Jesus was challenged by that expert in the law. And then Jesus told the parable of the good Samaritan. And we looked at that in the home groups. And we thought about how we're called to be good neighbors. And that's a huge thing, isn't it? It's an impossible task to be a good neighbor to everyone, but it's just such a thing. We're so good neighbors, told to go on mission. There's lots of stuff going on, and then we retire to this scene here, and it's a much more serene scene. Jesus comes to this village, and Martha opens her home to him. She loves him. She welcomes him in. And she's going to look after him. You can almost imagine Jesus taking off his shoes as he enters the house, breathing a sigh of relief, putting his slippers on and sitting down into the armchair. He's amongst friends and the tempo slows. But Martha isn't the only one living in this house. She has a sister called Mary. And before we get to Martha, let's consider Mary. And we're going to do that on our first point, sitting at the Lord's feet. So last week, not the week just gone, the week before, the elders went to an FIEC leaders conference and we had lots of time to chat and to pray together. And in one of our conversations, I remember John Dolman suggesting it might be a good idea, a good exercise, if the elders share with each other what our strengths and weaknesses were, what we thought of each other. I don't know why he thought that was a good idea. We didn't speak for a whole day after that. No, I'm joking. We didn't actually do the exercise. But I do wonder what we would have said. What would I say about Ingvar? If I had to summarize Ingvar up in just one sentence, what would summarize you? What would people say to summarize you up in one sentence? I wonder what characterizes us. Would they say she's a diligent, hard worker? Or, well, Matt is a bit moody, he's a bit unpredictable. Or Claire, she's so glamorous and sophisticated. That's a point to me. There we are. And or you know, he's got such a servant heart. I wonder what characterizes us. Do you know, Luke tells us four things about Mary. He says she's Martha's sister. She sat at the Lord's feet. She listened to Jesus, and she had chosen what was best. So that's what we know about Mary. That's it. We don't find out what she did for a living. We don't know if she was married or if she had kids from this passage. We don't know if she was fat or thin, if she was musical, if she was attractive, if she was popular. Now, what defines Mary here is who she is with and what she's doing. What defines her is that she has made Jesus her priority. That's what defines her. I wonder if the same could be said for us here this morning. So Jesus, and presumably the 12 as well, they've stopped off at Mary and Martha's house. Lazarus, he doesn't get a mention here. It's a quieter occasion. It's a break from all the crowds. As Jesus is sitting there, he's speaking. He's teaching his disciples. And even in this more social, relaxed environment, Jesus takes the opportunity to speak his truth into their lives. And isn't that how it should be with us as well? So we share a meal together. We just go around someone's house. We have a cup of tea with each other, a chat. Do you know that is an opportunity to help each other, to encourage each other, to instruct each other. It doesn't have to be as formal as home groups, like now is the official time that we sit down to encourage each other. So let's encourage each other. No, you know, actually encouraging each other, instructing each other in the Lord, it can just be, let's have a cup of tea together. When we talk about discipling each other, it doesn't mean you have to have a PhD in discipleship. It just means you know what it is to follow the Lord, and you're going to help someone else follow the Lord. I've been reading a book on discipleship, and it says discipleship is to intentionally help someone follow Jesus. Just intentionally, I'm going to try and help them follow Jesus better. It's quite easy, isn't it, when you think about that? So you might encourage them with prayer or whatever it is. And Jesus, he just takes this opportunity. He's sitting there, he's relaxed, and he's going to help them. He's going to instruct them. He's speaking truth into their lives. And I hope that's kind of how we use our lives together. Just an opportunity. I'm going to help this person. I'm just going to chat to them about Jesus. Jesus uses this opportunity. And it is an amazing opportunity, actually, isn't it? Jesus is the speaking, living Word of God. He is in their presence right then at that time. What a thing it must have been to have God sitting in their midst. Isn't that just a wow moment? Jesus was sitting in their midst, speaking the very words of God to those around us. That should have blown their socks off. I'm sure they didn't wear socks because they wore sandals, but you know, that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, what would you do if Jesus came to your house when you got back from church? He knocked at your door and he sat down and started to speak to you. You would be all ears, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want to miss a single thing, and nor does Mary. She's sitting there. She's as the words of life flow from Jesus' lips. She's as close to Jesus as she can get. And this is what Luke tells us about Mary. She was sitting at Jesus' feet. Maybe because the disciples had nicked all the chairs, I don't know. But she's sitting there. She's as close to Jesus as she can be. She doesn't want to miss a single word. And this tells us something about Jesus as well. In those days, rabbis didn't really approve of women learning theology. It wasn't the done thing. In fact, they would rather burn the Torah than let it fall into the hands of a woman. But here we have Jesus, the greatest rabbi that ever lived. And Mary's at his feet. He doesn't say, Mary, what do you think you're doing? Get back in the kitchen. He didn't send her off or rebuke her. He's teaching her as well. Jesus is for all, isn't he? He's for men, for women, for boys, for girls. Whoever you are, you might think, I'm not really into this Jesus. I don't really understand this Jesus. But Jesus is for you. It's for all of us. There's nothing more precious than to sit at his feet and to listen. Now, we've got many of Jesus' words written down for us. We have his teaching written in the Gospels. We have his words to us through the apostles. I wonder if, like Mary, we treasure the moments to sit at Jesus' feet, to treasure those moments to open up his word, treasure those moments when we can just be still before the Lord and learn and listen. I wonder if we realize how precious it is to have God's word. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15 says, the scripture makes us wise for salvation. But I fear that we can take it so lightly sometimes, can't we? Do I feel like going to church today? Shall I do something else? Don't we realize what we have here? What we have here is God's word to us. This is God's word to us. That should excite us. That should thrill us. It tells us about God. It tells us about our Creator, our Sustainer, our Savior. And he wants to teach us through his word. That's why he's given it to us. It's a real privilege that we have such easy access to us. It's a privilege that we can sit at home and we can just open it and read it for ourselves. It's a privilege that we can come here and we can listen to it be explained. It's a privilege that we can come to our home groups and discuss it and help each other apply it and understand it. This is God's word speaking to us. Let's not forget what it is. God speaking to us. Mary cared. She didn't treat it lightly. She wanted to hear what God had to say to her. She couldn't be anywhere else. There was no one like Jesus. He spoke the words of God, and nothing would drag her away from Jesus. She treasured being in his presence. She treasured listening to him. I would love it if we, me and you, if we had the same kind of desire to just be in God's word and say, I can't miss it. I can't be away. I've got to be in his word. Wouldn't that be fantastic? The same desire to come and be still before God. Just to be in his presence. Isn't that a prayer that we should be praying? Lord, give us this humble desire to submit ourselves, to sit quietly before you. Lord, would you teach us? I wonder if you long to be in his presence. In the busyness of your life, I wonder if you long to be in his presence. Is that you? Well, Mary saw spending time with Jesus as her priority. Her sister, however, Martha, she had other priorities on her mind, as we'll see in verse 40. But Martha. And we're going to look at Martha in our second point, Martha, when serving becomes ugly. Now, I don't know about you, but I find myself sympathizing with Martha a bit as I read this passage. I mean, she had lots to do, didn't she? Jesus, of all people, had come to her house. And presumably the 12 are there as well, so she's now got an extra 13 people to feed. There's customs and traditions to uphold, expectations, and there's teas and coffees to be made. There's potatoes to peel. There's a chicken to pluck. There's cream to be whipped. There's a table to be set. There's so much to do. And she wants to do her best because, after all, this is Jesus. He's come to her house. She can't really just serve him up a pot noodle, can she? And the Bible commends, even commands, hospitality. So what she's trying to do is good. She's trying to honor Jesus. She's trying to be the dutiful host. And that's all good. That's good. She's rushed off her feet. And you can picture it, can't you? Mary was perhaps helping her to begin with. Then there's a knock at the door. Jesus arrives. Mary answers it and she goes in with Jesus. And Mary's left her and Martha's there doing all the work on her own. The gravy's burning. There's no one to carve the chicken. And she's just there stuck on her own and she can't cope. And it is irritating, isn't it? when you are so busy and everyone around you is just sitting around doing nothing. I mean, we know how Martha feels, don't we? I do. You know, I'm doing the dinner, St. Clair's sitting there doing nothing, and I think, oh, I'm joking. You know, it is irritating though, isn't it? And you can imagine she's sitting there outside, no one's helping, and she can hear the happy conversation, the occasional guffaw from the room, and Jesus is speaking, and she's missing out. That's going to make you cross, isn't it? And that's what's happening with Martha. She's started to serve the Lord, and she wanted to do the right thing, because make no mistake, she loves the Lord. She wants to do her best for her, and she wants to for him, and she wants to make a feast for him, something that's worthy of him. But what starts out as well-intentioned hospitality is turning sour. And as the minutes go by, her annoyance is building. Her joyful service is becoming consumed by bitterness and resentment until she can stand it no longer. She thinks, I'm not having this. Blow this. She marches into the room, and you've got to picture this because it's really quite embarrassing. She marches into the room, Jesus is there, everyone's listening. Presumably, she cuts Jesus off in mid-flow, stamps her foot, and says, Lord, don't you care? Haven't we felt like that sometimes? Lord, don't you care? You can imagine how awkward that is. You know, that stunned silence. It's a needle slipping off the record moment, isn't it? Roop! And everything just stops. She's been transformed from the woman who so graciously opened her home to Jesus and wanted to serve him. And now she's become filled with this resentment. And she's doubting, does Jesus even know? Does he even care about me? And then she presumes to give Jesus an order. Tell her, Jesus, come on. Tell her to come and help me. Her service has become ugly. So what's gone wrong? Well, her intentions might have been good, but her priorities were wrong. So whereas Mary has realized that to have Jesus to come is such an honor, and to be with him and to listen to him is the best thing, and nothing else should get in the way of that. That is it. That is her top priority. Everything else, that can wait. Mary's realized that. Martha hasn't quite realized that. Mary is there as Jesus is speaking. What could be more important than that? He is explaining the kingdom, how to be saved, the glories of heaven and of the Father. He's speaking of mercy and compassion and the words of eternal life and how they can know him. And Mary couldn't be anywhere else. But Martha, although she loved the Lord, verse 40, she is distracted. She's been distracted. The Greek word there means to be dragged away. Her attention has been diverted from Jesus on to other things. So her service, what she's doing for the Lord, has become more important than actually being with the Lord. And that's a danger for us, isn't it? Life is so busy. So many expectations put upon us, so many responsibilities, so much for us to do. We can barely keep on top of it, can we? And we think, I can barely just, you know, catch my breath here. And what happens is our priorities can become skewed. And we start to miss out on that time with the Lord. We don't remember what an awesome privilege it is to come into the Lord's presence. We forget what an awesome privilege and how much we need to open his word. And we forget how much I need to come to him in prayer. I need to have someone come and feed me and explain his word to me. We can get distracted by all kinds of things. And we're tired. And so we miss church. Or it's our birthday. Or it's our holiday. And so we treat ourselves on those days by retreating from God and his word. Or we've got people coming to dinner on the Sunday, and so we skip church to cook for them. It's so easy, isn't it, to get distracted from what should be our top priority, which is to spend time with Jesus and to sit at his feet and to listen to his word. And you know, if you neglect that, he might be okay for a bit. You might think, it's all right, didn't, you know, I'm okay. But make no mistake, when we neglect meeting with Jesus, when we neglect our personal time with him, when we neglect meeting together and with his people, sooner or later things are going to go wrong. They're going to go sour. They are. They always do. Martha neglected her top priority of being with Jesus, and so her service changed from a joy to a joyless job, a chore, something she had to do. That's so common in so many churches. It's common in this church as well. We start off well. We have a heart for Jesus, not doubting that. You know, we want to serve him. We want to do that. We want to give our best to him. But in the busyness of life and in the demands of serving, somehow we forget that our top priority should be to spend time with him, to be in his word, to feed ourselves. We forget that. And you know, if we haven't filled ourselves up with his word, if we haven't been humbled by him and reshaped and empowered and reset on that right course, then we're going to go wrong. It's going to go sour. And our good service will soon become all about me. It's what I'm doing and what everyone else is not doing. Why aren't they helping me? Can't they see how busy I am? I'm the sole pastor here. Can't you see how busy I am? You know, and it becomes about me and my ministry, and I'm the most important thing here. What would happen if I wasn't here? Oh, that part of the church work would just fall apart, wouldn't it? Hopefully you're not serving because you think God is so desperate that he can't possibly achieve his plans without you. Hopefully you don't think that church would fall apart if I wasn't there. Hopefully you're serving because you've spent time with him and you know him and you treasure him, you love him and you want to serve him because you love him and you spent time with him and you just think, yeah, and you're filled up. And so that's when you go out. And okay, there might be some lazy people that need, you know, a bit of a reminder that there's stuff to do. But actually, if we spend time with Jesus, it will protect us from becoming bitter and thinking, it's all about me. It's all about what I'm doing. And actually, we'll look on those people that aren't really doing much and we'll think, I want to help them. I'm not going to just sit here and blame them. I want to draw alongside them and help them, disciple them. I'm going to intentionally help them follow Jesus more. Martha had good intentions, but she confused her priorities, and so her service became more important than actually spending time with the Lord. Hospitality, service, and life, you know, it's all good. But if we neglect sitting at the Lord's feet, if we neglect spending time in his word and listening to him, then we have got our priorities wrong, and we'll be serving in our own strength, and it's going to turn ugly. So Martha, her annoyance boils over, and she makes this ugly scene. And into that stunned silence, let's see how Jesus responds in our final point. Jesus choosing what's best. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? We feel like that sometimes, don't we? Lord, don't you care? Can you see all I'm having to do? I feel like I'm on my own here. Just look how Jesus replies to her in verse 41. Martha. Martha. There is a rebuke there, but it's so full of compassion. Martha. Martha. You're worried. You're upset about many things. See, Jesus knew her. He knew what was going on. He knew her situation. I could be wrong, this is speculation, but this may have just been the thing, the straw that broke the camel's back. Jesus says she had many problems. He says she's anxious and troubled about many things. So perhaps it was more than just this dinner. Perhaps there was things she was struggling with, other things as well, you know, stuff in life. Maybe she had money trouble. Maybe she was worrying about the future and what she was going to do and her job and her health and how things were going to pan out. Maybe she had all kinds of worries going on in her life, and then this thing with Jesus happens and it's just too much and she can't cope. But Jesus knows. He knows her problems. Whatever they were, he knows. He says, I know you've got all these problems and these worries. And in that, her outburst, he gently corrects her. She's been so taken up with all the preparations, all these things, all she wants to do for Jesus, that she is missing out on all that Jesus wants to do for her. She's missing out. Jesus didn't require a feast. He never asked for that. If only she'd just stop and spend some time in his presence, all the other troubles and those problems, they wouldn't go away, but they'd be put in their place. Verse 42, few things are needed, or indeed only one. We fill our lives with so many things, don't we? So many concerns, so much stuff. And we forget, actually, that's not what life is about. You know, sometimes it takes a shock for us to get things back into perspective, something big to happen in our lives to make us think, whoa. So we're so full of stress about getting, you know, that bit of work done or that housework done or that garden done or I don't know, whatever it is, cleaning the car or, you know, doing the shopping, whatever it is, you know, all this stuff, it's got to be done, and I can't possibly cope, you know, it's just too much. And then suddenly something happens, your loved one or something goes into hospital, and all that other stuff, it just doesn't matter. You know, you think, does it really matter if that thing doesn't happen, if I don't go to my sports event, if the dinner is late, if the house doesn't get hoovered, if my child can't do that activity, or if it's not quite perfect? Actually, is that what life's about? Sometimes it takes a shock to get us to see things the way we should see them. Martha had allowed other things to become the priority when actually only one thing deserved to be her top priority, and that was spending time with the Lord. Other things, well, they are good and they're necessary and we've got to do this stuff, but there is one overriding thing that anyone who follows Jesus and wants to serve him needs to do, and that is to sit at his feet and be fed. And you might be thinking, oh, come on, Matt. Get out of your ivory tower. Come on, live in the real world just for a minute. Life is too busy. You don't understand what it's like for us real people living in the real world. And I know. So does Jesus. He knows. Just as he knew Martha, he knows you. He knows there's stuff to do. And I think this is why Luke puts this account where he does. See, at the beginning of chapter 10, we saw how the disciples were sent out on a mission. There's the lost to be saved, and we're all about that in this church, aren't we, hopefully? Especially as Christmas comes up, we're gearing up, there's lots to do. Yeah, the lost need to be saved, we're on a mission, we've got to go out, there's lots to do. Come on, you know, let's do this, and that's right, we've got to be about that. And then last week we saw about how we need to be good neighbors. And we think, what does that mean? Well, it's being a good neighbor to whoever we come across. And that's costly. That's we're going to have to be sacrificial in our time. So there's mission, there's serving, there's loving, and there's all that. And we can be so busy. But in case we think that is what is the most important thing and that's what we're to be taken up with, actually Luke pops this in here just to remind us, what's your top priority? What can you not do without? What's going to help us serve with the right attitude? We need to spend time in the presence of God, feeding on his word, being still before him. It's this that fills us up. It's this that enables us to keep going. It's this that enables us to do it in his strength, that keeps us doing it in the way that glorifies him. That's why Jesus says Mary's chosen what's best. It wasn't that Martha's service was wrong, but if we're going to serve in a God-glorifying way, then we need to spend time with the Lord. Perhaps Martha hadn't quite grasped who was sitting in her front room It's God made flesh. It's the Son of God, from whose lips came the very words of God. And she's worried about the gravy. That could wait. Yeah, they might get hungry. People might be disappointed. Their expectations might not be met. And yeah, things might not be perfect. But that could come later. Right then, Jesus was sitting there speaking the words of life. What could be more important than to sit down and listen to Jesus? There was a feast to be had, and that was the bread of life. Jesus was delivering it. Mary was receiving. Martha was too busy to receive. I wonder if we've got our priorities wrong and we've been overtaken with stuff. I wonder if your ministry has lost its joy. Could it be that that's because we've neglected to sit at the feet of Jesus? Could it be some of us have been distracted and we've gone off and we've kind of lost our first love? Could it be that we're so busy doing stuff for Jesus that we've lost that real personal intimacy and closeness with Jesus? I'm not saying that we all have to quit everything we're doing, okay? We need to be out on mission. We need to do that. We need to be those good neighbors. We need to be doing all that stuff. And we need to be serving the Lord, pouring ourselves out into the work. It's hard. It's sacrificial. Paul talks about how he labors for the Lord. It's hard work. Let's not forget that Christian service is hard. It's costly. And it's really difficult at times. But whatever else you're doing, before all else, we need to make sure we are spending time with Jesus. So as we finish, will you do that this week? Will you make that your priority this week? It's so easy to let things drag us away from just grabbing those 10 precious minutes or whatever it is. But let me urge you, don't miss out on the blessing of knowing Jesus and being blessed by him because you're too busy doing other stuff this week. Well, in a second, the band will lead us in a time that helps us continue to focus on Jesus. I just want you to spend a little bit of time quiet to consider your priorities. I ask you to think, what was your top priority at the beginning of the sermon? And now, is that top priority the same as Mary's was, to spend time with Jesus? Does there need to be a reshuffle in your life? If we make Jesus our top priority, everything else will begin to fall into place. So let's be quiet and just consider, let the Lord search our hearts, and then the band will lead us and we'll stand to sing.